One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. One thing about me, my children say this is true, the older I get, I don't like change. I'm a right old stick in the mud. I don't like change at all. And we don't, do we? I went to Robert Adams Street with Paul yesterday, and to get in there, you have to sort of press on this sort of keypad. He said, "It's okay." You pressed a few numbers, pushed the door, nothing. So he pressed a few more and pushed the door, nothing. And then someone came out, and just as we were getting a bit frustrated, and you can see why people go in as clergymen, because they can't do anything right, can they? Chap opened the door, he said, "We've changed the number." You see, they can't leave anything alone, can they? I mean, everything's got to be changed in our society. Everything's got to be changed. And I'm a right stick, and I don't like change. I really don't. I mean, I worked for the same insurance company for 30 years. I went to the same hairdresser for 45 years. I've got the same haircut. This was fashionable years ago, I'm telling you, it was. You see, I've lived in the same house for 25 years. You know, I'm a really boring fellow. I mean, I've had the same wife for 27 years. Yeah, but that's a clap for my wife, is it? Yeah. And before you think anything ill about the Blessed Eileen, you know, that's great being married for that long time, but of course the downside, there's always a downside, I've had the same mother-in-law for 28 years, 27 years, but I just don't like change. I mean, it's just horrible. And you see, I'm just comfortable with what I'm comfortable with, but they never, everything's got to be messed about. As Paul said, I've had five children. Now, we had four children in 8 years. Then we had a 10-year gap and had another one. I'm still trying to work that one out, but that's what's happened. And when my last daughter, my fourth daughter, was born, I was so excited, you know, and she came out and she looked absolutely wonderful, just like me, not with the moustache, but she looked absolutely wonderful. And I said to the midwife lady, I said, "How much does she weigh?" And she took her and she came back, she said, 3.5 kilograms. Well, I didn't know whether my missus had given birth to an elephant or Stuart Little. I mean, I said, "How much does she weigh?" "Oh," she said, looking at me in that sort of sad look they give to old people. "Well, £9.30. Now you're talking my language." And you see the weather. You notice the weather? Well, you can't help it in this country, can you? But you notice the weather. Now, in the old days, they used to give the weather and it was in Fahrenheit. And if they said it was 50 degrees, you knew in yourself where you're at, don't you? But they don't do that anymore. They say, you see, they mess it about, don't they? And you see these smarmy sort of Michael Fish and they say, "And tomorrow it's going to be 12. And I'm thinking to myself, well, do I wear a sou'wester or do I wear a swimsuit? He's not really, I haven't got a clue what that is. And have you noticed, this is true, have you noticed, since they've changed from Fahrenheit to centigrade, the weather's got worse. Isn't it? Complete a nightmare now, isn't it? You see? Don't leave anything alone. But you see, I've come to learn, I'm a bit slow on the uptake, but I've come to learn that actually change is a sign of life. There's good things about change. First of all, it's a sign of life. I went on a weekend up in some villages in Leicestershire to talk to people about Jesus. And we got there really late at night. We got to this house and they showed me in, and they showed me into my room. It was absolutely shattered. And they said, there, Chris, just, you know, make yourself home. And I just crashed out. It was dark. I went, bang. When I woke up in the morning, I woke up to the start. There was a big sort of moose, elk, looking at me in the face. I thought it was my mother-in-law had turned up. And I was just about to leap out of the bed and go running down and crying for help. And then I realised this moose didn't move, you see. And it hadn't changed because it was dead. It was stuffed. It was hanging off the ceiling. And I went, kitty-kitty, you know, nothing, not a thing. You see, change is a sign of life. Change is also essential for life and growth. One of my little daughters, when she was about 3 and a half, we were sitting at the breakfast table, and I said, what would you like, dear, for breakfast? She said, Daddy, I'll have a bowl of Freddy's. I sort of looked at that. My wife looked at me as if it was my fault. And Freddy's? Then I twigged, you see. She didn't have any front teeth. And what she was saying is, Daddy, I'll have a bowl of Shreddies. Now, that sort of behaviour is quite cute when you're 3 and a half. But when Paul says that every morning, you know, his wife's going to wonder a bit, you see. But change, you see, is a sign of life. It's essential to life. Change is also a gateway to life. Can you come with me to Luke 5? We're on the lake. It's a sunny day. It's Jesus, this incredible person, this wandering speaker, someone, actually, who draws crowds incredibly. And I often thought that, you know, when churches are empty and all the time, why does everyone want to be with Jesus? And you know the reason why? Because he's a real man talking about a real God to real people in real language that they can understand, that you and I can understand. And we're by this lake and people crowding around him. Just check out, I'm not making this up. We're in verse 1. The people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, hanging on to his every word. And there were so many people there, he was in danger of being pushed into the lake. So he got on a boat and sort of moved that out, and then he spoke to people. And it was absolutely wonderful. And he taught them all about this real God. And verse 4, when he finished speaking, he said to Simon, the chap who owned the boat, he said, he was doing the nets and stuff, he said, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Put out into the deep water. And Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. You see, you know, it didn't make sense. I mean, these professional fishermen, I mean, Simon, 6'4", like Charlton Heston. Jesus called him Rocky later on. He did. Simon, it didn't make total sense to him because he knew the lake like the back of his hand. He'd been out there all night. He said, if we haven't caught anything, where are we? You know, we'd go out there and we'd probably catch a Tesco trolley and a couple of old boots. But he's not stupid, Simon. He'd seen enough of Jesus. He didn't know all about Jesus. But he'd heard and seen enough of Jesus to think, well, he's no fool. And so he said to him, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. You see, Simon was wise enough to change. He was wise enough to change his mind when Jesus spoke to him. Are you like that? Have we got that wisdom? Or are you one of these people that, I used to be like that, especially when it came to religion. Oh, my mind's made up, you know, don't trouble me with any facts. I've made up my mind. Peter changed his mind. And so they went out. And I can imagine they put the nets out, and Peter and the others thinking, Simon, we're going to look absolute Charlies, you know. But anyway, he did it. And all of a sudden, the water started boiling. And there are fish just flying into the boat. It was absolutely wonderful. And I had to call James and come on, our boat's sinking because of the fish. And it's absolutely brilliant. I've never seen anything like it on this lake. And when I've been here for 30 years, I've never seen anything like it. It's absolutely brilliant. And they were having real fun because there was so much fish. It was such the best day that they've ever had of fishing. And what happened next? What happened next? Then Simon, Rocky, fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord." Can you imagine the other fish? Don't tell him to go away. We've just caught more fish in one night than we catch in a month. Don't tell him to go away. Tell him to come on board. Tell him to join the firm. You want share options? You've got them. You want to marry the boss's daughter? You come on. Don't, Rocky, don't tell him to go away. That's stupid. We can make some serious money with this bloke around. But Rocky could look a little bit deeper, you see. And he said, why did he say this? Go away from me, Lord. You see, he's changed from master to Lord. When he'd seen Jesus in action, he then fell at his feet. When was the last time that fella fell at anybody's feet? When was the last time you, me, fell at Jesus' knees? It's hard to do, isn't it? Change. It's hard to. That's not a thing that he did every day of the week. Not him. Not me. But he'd seen something of Jesus. He'd seen something of his power. He'd also seen something of his love and care because he'd heard him speak. He'd even seen him actually make his mum-in-law well. And so he'd seen that. And suddenly, Jesus is like a mirror. When he'd seen in the purity and wonder of Jesus, it was like a mirror and he shone into Peter's heart, and Peter could suddenly see in his own heart what he was really like. And he says, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Have you had the bravery to look inside your heart and see what you're really like? Are we willing to have a change of heart about what I'm like? Because it's not nice, is it, to actually look inside and we think, well, no one can help me, so I'll just pretend, and you just sort of push that down a bit. But inside, we are self-centered. The heart of me is a selfish thing. But in the light of this loving Jesus, you can be brave enough to change your mind. You can be brave enough to change your heart and really get real with what you're really like. Because we're not playing at religion. We're dealing with a real God, with real people. Absolutely brilliant, isn't it? Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Are you willing to do that? See, even considering the claims of Christ, to come back to him requires fundamental change. And then Jesus said to Simon, verse 10, don't be afraid. Because they was afraid now. Because he was exposed. He suddenly realized what he was like. And it frightened him. Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll catch men. A change of mind. A change of heart. And are you brave enough for this? A change of direction. You see, to consider the claims of Christ takes a lot of courage. Takes a lot of honesty, and it requires some fundamental change. Jesus said later on, unless you change and become like a little child, that is, you don't go going and going, but what he says, well, not being childish, but childlike. Children are wise enough to know that they need help. I've been with Paul's two little daughters. They need help. They're not ashamed to ask daddy to give them a lift up. They're not ashamed to ask daddy to help them to do things. Are we too proud to do that? A change of mind, perhaps a change of mind about Jesus. Not just a good moral teacher. Not just an example to follow, but a rescuer. Someone we can know personally. Someone who is actually God, and we can know God personally through him. A change of heart, of getting real. I spent 22 years of my life in fantasy land, not getting real about myself at all, because no one could help me. And there didn't seem any way that I could get real at all. And we spend most of our time, don't we, in fantasy land. But we are selfish at heart. And we're desperately in need, just like Paul's little daughters, definitely in need for Daddy to lift us up and put us on our feet. Desperately in need of a fresh start, a new start. Desperate for someone to wipe the slate clean, to forgive me. And then a change of direction. You see, what, at the moment, if we don't know the Lord Jesus, we're walking away from God. I've turned my back on God. That's the problem. My selfishness, I've turned my back on God and I've said, I can do it my way. And that song, My Way, more people have recorded My Way than any other song. You know why? From Frank Sinatra to the Muppets. Oh, everyone's had a go at My Way. If you listen very carefully, you can hear us singing it now in our hearts. My little son, John. When he was 3, he'd got teeth. I thought, right, John, this is the time when you learn from your dad how to brush your teeth. I got him into the old bathroom. I sat him on the, got him to stand up on the chair next to the sink. I said, John, it's easy. Just watch Daddy do it as I do it. I said, first thing you do is you grab hold of this. This is called a toothbrush. The next thing you do, and you hold it in that hand, next thing you do is grab hold of the toothpaste. And I was just about to do that. And he said, Daddy, he grabbed hold of both of them. These 3 wrenched them away from me and said the immortal words, Daddy, I'll do it my way. I said, what do you mean your way? You haven't got a clue how to do it. He said, Daddy, I'll do it my way. I said, I've been doing this for 40 years and you're 3. It doesn't make sense to do it your way, especially when my way leads where? Turn my back on God. It leads to a lost eternity. It eventually leads, and I don't say this lightly at all, but that's what, it's the truth. The truth hurts, doesn't it, at times? It leads to God actually punishing us because we've taken everything that God has given us and basically ignored and say, thank you very much, but I'll make the better job of being God in my life than you. Thanks. Have you ever given something to somebody that you've made for a birthday or Christmas and they totally ignored it? How do you feel? Or even if they've smashed it up. That's what we've done. But you see, it's a change of mind, a change of heart, and a change of direction. The good news, you have to have the bad news about Christianity, otherwise the good news doesn't make any sense. But the good news is that we can turn round. And because of the cross, that punishment, God himself in Jesus took for me. He died in my place. So that if I turn around and thank him for doing that, ask him to forgive me, I can come home to my Father. It's not easy, but it's possible. And it all starts with a change of mind and a change of heart, leading to a wonderful change of direction. Quite a few of you have done that by God's grace, but perhaps there may be one or two folks who haven't. Perhaps you're always thinking about it, never quite got round to it, or perhaps you never quite understood. I never understood for 22 years why Good Friday was called Good Friday. Now I know. It's the time when Jesus stood in my place and died in my place so I can come home. It's absolutely wonderful, that, isn't it? And then start living a new life in a new direction. And Jesus knows how difficult that is. And he says, don't be afraid. He's with us. He goes before us. We don't know the future. But we can know someone who holds the future in their hand. When my little daughter, Christiana, when she said to me, Daddy, she was about 5 or 6, she said, she just started to go into school and they wanted to learn how to write. She said, Daddy, how do you write? I said, it's easy, Christiana, it really is. You get hold of the pen. So she put the pen in her hand. Then I put my hand around her hand and we started writing. She said, oh, look, I can do it now. Come on. And God will do that. If you want to write a new chapter in your life, come home to God. He will put his hand around yours and he will write that with you and for you. But it needs a change of mind, a change of heart, and a wonderful change of direction. Now, I've been a Christian for 30 years. I have known thousands of people who've done that. And I don't know one who's regretted it. Unfortunately, I do know a few people who wished they had and knew they should have turned round, but haven't, and have lived with that regret so far all their lives. So, are you willing for that change?